Come on, Faith School students, where are you at? Because we think the church is about to tip over. So if you guys can come from here and go over to this section. He said it, not me. Come on, let's go. There's authority in my words. Let's go.
While they're getting moved, I just want to introduce this next song. Can you guys multitask? All right, church, this first song we're going to do is called Breakthrough. I was thinking about this song tonight, and maybe there's something that you need a breakthrough in tonight, some situation that's going on. And I was thinking about a story from our John reading this week. I talked about the story of Lazarus. I'll tell you, if there's ever anybody that needed a breakthrough, it was Lazarus. Lazarus spent 3 days in the grave dead. He needed a breakthrough. So I don't think there's a situation that you have tonight that God can't work in. I don't think there's a situation you have tonight that God can't break through. If you need something tonight, you just picture what Lazarus saw. When light became to come out of darkness, when his death had to give way to the glory of the risen King, when his situation gave up to what God had for him in blessing, I don't think there's anything that God can't do for you tonight. So why don't you expect what Lazarus expected, his miracle tonight, and you'll have your breakthrough. Amen? You guys put your hands together and worship God tonight.
The undefeated one, my life and my salvation. Enemies and my foes came upon me to eat of my flesh. They stumbled and fell. Omnipotent, almighty defender, my victory, my refuge, the one I run to. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough. You need a breakthrough right now. Why don't you put your hand to the heavens and say, God, send breakthrough. You are the God of the breakthrough. When I can't see my way through, I really don't know what to do. I look to you, breakthrough. Walls fall down when I shout through. Strongholds break when I pray through. I'm gonna praise you. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough. You are the undefeated one. My life and my salvation. With you, my enemies and my foes came upon me. Even my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Omnipotent, almighty defender, my victory, my refuge, the one I run to. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough. Breakthrough, you are the God of the breakthrough. When I can't see my way through, I really don't know what to do. I look to you, breakthrough. Walls fall down when I shout through. Strongholds break when I pray through. I'm gonna praise you. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough. You are the God of the breakthrough. When I can't see my way through, I really don't know what to do. I look to you, breakthrough. Walls fall down when I shout through. Strongholds break when I pray through. I'm gonna praise you, you are the God.
send breakthrough tonight, mighty God. Breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I live, glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I lift, glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthroughs. Breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough. You are the God of the breakthrough. When I can't see my way through, I really don't know what to do. I look to you, breakthrough. Walls fall down when I shout through. Strongholds break when I pray through. I'm gonna praise you. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough. You are the God of the breakthrough. When I can't see my way through, and I really don't know what to do, I look to you, breakthrough. Walls fall down when I shout through. Strongholds break when I pray through. I'm gonna praise you. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough.
Your birth.
But right now,
now I'm living day to day by your grace. So excuse me if I can't contain this praise, because I know that I'm saved. And Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, you made me a real love, thank you Jesus, you washed my sins away.
Trust in you. Jesus, we thank you that you are a way maker, that you make a way where there seems like there's no way. And right now in this building, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, I speak that a way would be made where it seems like there is no way. In the name of Jesus, it says in the Bible that mountains fall at your name, that situations turn around at your name. So we believe that we're going to see a way made where it seems like there's no way.
I worship you. lift our hands and begin to thank God for His power and His character. Would you please? That is who God is. Let's magnify. We thank Him for what He's done, but let's magnify Him for who He is. Come on, those of you that are online, wherever you're at, in a hospital room, in the prison, at the nursing home, if you're listening in your vehicle, if you're in the garage, if you're wherever you're at, why don't you begin to praise Him? Hallelujah. If you're in the dorm room and at the campus or at the cafeteria or you're at the coffee shop or you're at the grandparents' house or the grandkids' house, begin to praise Him with us. Lord, we thank You that we are not all that there is, but that You're a great God and You're worthy to be praised. We praise You because we accept the fact that You do what You said You do, because You are who You said You are. And we give You thanks for our victory is in our praise. Our joy is in our praise. Our revelation is in our praise. Hallelujah. And if You be lifted up, You'll draw all men to You in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, a victorious one. And thank God for every victory that comes from Him. Praise God. Thank you, choir. Would you turn and shake hands honestly with about 7 or 8 people and just tell them, I'm glad that you're here tonight. If you would, please. Let about 7 or 8 people know. Praise God. Let everybody feel welcome in the house of God tonight. And while they're doing that here, let me welcome you there, wherever you're watching online. Would you just know that we're glad that you've tuned in, and we appreciate it. That's perfect. Thank you, Lauren. We're so grateful that you're here, and we believe that God's going to speak to you. You've welcomed each other. Let's welcome everybody online and appreciate their joining us tonight. If you're new to church or you've never been a part of church or anything like it, you've tuned into a joyful place. And we're thankful for what God is doing out here in this great city called Charleston, Maine. Amen. That was a little weak. How many just glad that God's moving in Charleston? We don't call it. It's not really a city. If it was a city, most of us wouldn't be here, because we're not here because we want to be in the city. We're here because we like being in the country. Amen. How many country folks are here tonight? Let me just help you with that. If you're from Maine, you're a country folk. I don't care what you pierced or what color your hair is or how tight your jeans are. If you're from Maine, you're country. And don't fight it. Just be happy with who God made you. You could have been worse. You could have been born in... Well, there's no way I'm going to say it now, because there could be somebody watching from the state that I would say, and I wouldn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You know that. Ushers, if you'd come, let's worship the Lord in our giving tonight. And want to just make you aware of a couple things. On February the 4th is our annual business meeting, and we hope that you're making plans to join us for that. We will have worship in Sunday school, 9:30. Morning worship, 10:30. You can put the announcement slides up. And then after service, everybody's invited to join us for a meal in the fellowship hall. Everybody's welcome. It's not just for people going to the business meeting. Everybody can come out and eat with us. And then after the meal is done, we'll have a great time out there. We'll come back in here and take care of some of the business. How many know a church is not a business, but a church has business? We're going to take care of business, look at over the finances, rejoice in what God's done, do a little voting on our leadership. And we're going to have a great time, and then we'll take in members. Now, let me just say this. If you're not a member, you ought to be a member. And if you want to be a member and you feel that's something you're ready for, there's applications in front of Barbara's office. You fill that out. Get that back to us ASAP. By the way, your giving reports are there. If you would get one, pick that up after service. That will help us, save us a stamp, and save you from waiting. And then on February... is it the 11th? It's February 7th is First Wednesday, is that right? I apologize, I missed that one. We had a great First Wednesday here in January. All kinds of great people here. It was really neat, it was different. And then the fellowship hall so far, Igniter out there, Kids on the Move have a great service, nursery, just something for the whole family. So make sure that you join us at 7 o'clock then. And then on February the 14th, Yeah, it's on the screen. That's why we have them on the screen, to show that I'm wrong. We have Better Together. We're so excited about that night. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to have some singing, some illustrating, and then we're going to have a panel on the platform. We're going to talk about love languages. Love languages on that night. And I can tell you what our non-love languages. But we're going to talk about, with Greg and Denise and a couple other folks, the love languages. And then after, we're going out to the fellowship hall, taking some pictures, and then eating cookies and drinking hot chocolate. And that can't happen fast enough. How many are enjoying the fast that we're doing around here? How many are enjoying the fast? I had to pull my belt up a little bit tighter than I have for too long. And so every time I hear somebody that says, you shouldn't fast and lose weight, there's always somebody skinnier than me. Look, if I'm going to go without eating, I plan on losing some weight. So you take your skinny self spiritually out of here, and if I'm going to do it right, if I'm going to grow in the Lord, I'm not doing it to lose weight. But if I'm not going to eat, I better lose weight. In Jesus' name. Amen. You never hear big people say that. Only little people say that. So we're having a great time. Join us this last week, starting today, every day this week at 12:30. The staff are addressing you on Facebook Live and encouraging you. For those four babies, the first service, I think, or one of the very first services those little babies were in a service that God moved mightily, encouraged hundreds of people. That's fantastic, and so exciting to see that happen. And He's God, the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And it's simple how to access Him. You got to seek God in prayer, and we thank God for that. God bless you as you give tonight. If you're watching online, you see today that we've just started offering an opportunity for you to give through Facebook. If you just in the comments put hashtag donate, and everything else will be done for you. Your giving will help increase and improve this experience, this media experience. These guys are doing fantastic work with the equipment that we have, but the late 90s wants their computers and their cameras back. And so we need some help. And if you want to do that and you believe God, if God's ministering to you through this ministry, then go ahead and be a part of that. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you're doing here. Feel your spirit. I don't believe you're done in any way. And God, I pray that you'll receive these gifts. We give them with hearts of gratitude. And we're grateful that we're sowing seeds into the greatest harvest, the harvest of souls. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you as you give. After you've given, go ahead and grab your Bibles and open them to the book of Proverbs. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for your help. The book of Proverbs, Jeremiah, I apologize. And hey, Vinny, you want to pass that hammer to Vinny? And Vinny, you want to throw that hammer up at me? Just throw it at me. No, just throw it. I want to see if I can catch it. It only weighs about 3 ounces, so I know nobody going to get hurt with that. All right, I want to talk to you tonight about the hammer of heaven. And then just come into the altar and seek God, and let's just see what the Lord has in store for us. Oh, Lord, we intercede for the poor Patriot fans tonight. I'm not going to tell you how I'm praying, but I'm praying for them. If some of you just need to shut your cell phone off, or it would have been a wasted trip for you to come here tonight. It makes me think of that terrible show I watched back in the 90s. And Homer Simpson sitting in church, and he's got his headphones on, and he's listening to a football game, and the preacher's up there droning on and on, and Homer just starts shouting, yes, yes, and they thought they're having revival. So then God knows the Simpsons need it, amen? Yeah, I know, you shouldn't even say that name in the pulpit. All right, I see who I'm dealing with here tonight. Jeremiah, let me talk to you tonight about the Word of God. The Word of God. Every superhero that we have read about and enjoyed as children, I guess, are coming back in our adulthood and also for a new generation. But heroes often, in fact, I would say 99% that I can think of heroes all have a superpower. They have something that they are unusually good at, and they have that weapon that makes them so powerful that in the midst of greatest adversity, They just come out victorious without that weapon, and they usually lose that weapon in the midst of the drama. But when they get it back, they begin to win. And obviously, we've got Thor's hammer. I ordered it off of Amazon. I thought it was much larger and much heavier. Yeah, and I was disappointed, as I have been other times, and when I got this in the mail. So I don't know if that company is going to do very well in the future, but they'll probably make it without my business. But anyways, you remember Thor? He's got his great hammer. How many are familiar with that great story of Thor? This is Thor's hammer, by the way. This is the genuine article, and yes, I am that strong. But the Bible tells us very plainly, over and over again, that as believers, we have been given supernatural weapons. Amen? Paul said, our weapons are not natural, our weapons are spiritual. So as a Christian, how many Christians are here tonight? Just raise your hand if you're unashamed. If you're at home, raise your hand, hit a like. We have weapons. Paul said we have to put on the armor of God, from helmet to feet, sword and shield. Why? Because Paul is saying Christians are going to have conflict. If you're a Christian and you have no conflict, it may be that you have one and you don't know it, or perhaps you just kind of got into a place where you're just avoiding everything and your faith is very frail. But I need you to hear this. If we're going to deal with spiritual conflicts that accompany the life of faith, because we live in a spiritually corrupt culture, we've got to have spiritual weapons, because natural weapons will not sustain you through a spiritual attack. I think we have to be careful, as intelligent and as learned as we've become, and I'm thankful for that, that we not become proud in our advancements and think that we are too smart to be under attack or too smart to be defeated. I mean, no, tonight, if you're going to go to a gunfight, you better bring a gun. And a lot of Christians are going to gunfights with squirt guns. And we've got to get our spiritual. But I'm thankful tonight. Listen, I'm thankful. I don't want to present this like we're cowering down. I'm telling you, God has given us victorious weapons, and we're not trying to get through. We're just accessing what God's given to us. I believe healing is ours. Amen? I believe peace is ours. I believe courage is ours. I believe boldness is ours. I believe holiness is ours. But they're not through our own natural strength. They come through spiritual weapons. And how many want to receive some spiritual weaponry here tonight? Amen. The problem is, it's scary how few Christians get themselves well acquainted with the Word. We're fasting and praying 21 days. If you haven't been, start tonight. But we've been fasting and praying and focusing every day on Scripture. Your familiarity with the Word of God is directly related to your victory in a time of battle. It's not how loud you sing. It's not how many meals you miss. It's not how much you believe correctly. It's how much of the Word are you familiar with. And unfortunately, some believers don't realize until they get into a conflict that they don't have as much Word as they thought they did. Unfortunately, some believers don't realize until they get into a conflict that what they've been taught and what they believed was wrong. And that's why I would encourage you, if you're here tonight and you're not in a conflict, you're not in a hand-to-hand combat, if you're not in a struggle, if you're not backed up against the wall, that you not wait till then to get your Bible open. If you're in a moment of blessing, and I'm not saying everybody's under attack, but if you're in a moment of blessing, don't forsake the Word of God. Because if you're in a moment of blessing, get yourself armed up so that if the enemy does come back, you say, I ain't going to stress out. I was ready for this a long time ago. Amen. And so we've got to get back into the Word. That tonight's not going to be flashy, and it's not going to be, you know, everything maybe the flesh wants. But I think it's absurd that we confess that we follow a God who calls himself the Word, and we don't get in it enough. It is an oxymoron to call yourself a Christian and not be daily in the Bible. Listening to the Bible, being taught the Bible, reading the Bible, meditating on the Bible. The Bible said in Joshua that God said to him, meditate on the Word. That word meditate means to regurgitate. You know, cows have four stomachs. If you think fasting's hard, imagine if you had four stomachs. That would be like fasting four meals every time you missed a meal. And the Bible says, if you're going to have told Joshua, meditate on the Word, and then you will have good success. It doesn't say meditate on the Word and God will give you good success. The Bible says, meditate on the Word and you will have good success. You know what that means to me? That means the more I get in the Bible and the more the Bible gets into me, I'm in a position of strength, not in a position of vulnerability. And I'm not just hoping that things get better. I'm making things get better in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're getting equipped. So it's absurd. Anybody that is a Bible-less Christian is not a victorious Christian. But anybody that's in the Word and does it right can expect ultimately victory after victory after victory. So let me give you a few practical things, and I'm going to get into the hammer. Number one, you need to get into solitude when you get in the Word of God. Read the Bible in solitude. Get alone. I'm going to tell you something that is extremely difficult. I'm going to tell you something that, it's going to hurt. But you're going to have to put your phone away. You're going to have to take that phone and put it somewhere where you can't hear it buzz, you can't hear it beep, and you can't put your greedy little fingers on that thing. Come on. Put it at the bottom of a bucket of peas and leave it there. Do whatever you got to do. But get away from that thing, because inevitably your phone or your cat will come around you when you try to read the Bible. Cat won't have anything to do with you 23 hours and 45 minutes a day. But you get the Bible out and that cat wants all kinds of love. Odd. They're of the devil. No, I mean, I didn't say that, did I? The devil will use who he can. But you got to get alone. Why? You got to get alone because you got to tune out the noise. I find myself when I'm near a phone or I'm near, even in my office, the phone rings incessantly and I can't even focus on what I'm reading. I know women can multitask. My wife can ask me four questions at the same time. I just felt like I got hit four times by Muhammad Ali. Boom, 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 boom. She gets me questions so fast. And when we're in a lot of noise, and I'm not saying that she doesn't when I'm praying, but when we get in a lot of noise, we can't keep up with all the thoughts. I'm preaching. We can't keep up with all the things that are, you need to shut down, my friend. Get in a quiet place and pick up the Bible and focus on the Word of God. Because how many know a lot of the noise we hear today is not good for us? How many know a lot of the reports and a lot of the talk and a lot of the conversations, a lot of the images and a lot of the things that have come into our lives? I believe the enemy is using a lot of it so that we can't focus on what God wants to say to us. Got to get alone. We read too fast. Hello? We read too fast. This is how I read most every book I ever read. I read the first sentence, then I move on to the next paragraph. I read the first sentence, I can read the newspaper in 3 minutes. I read the headline, I'm moving on to the next thing. Why? Because my hard drive's not that big. And I know I can't contain everything. But when I get into the Word of God, I don't read entire books. Sometimes I'll just read lines. Sometimes I just read words. But I got to slow myself down, because this world has got you on a lie feeder. It's a slow drip. Come on, somebody. It's a slow drip of continually trying to affect you. I'm going to tell you, in God's book, you get victory. In Facebook, you get vengeful. In God's book, you get victory. But in Facebook, you get defeat. One book makes you strong. One book makes you weak. One book makes you better. One book makes you bitter. One book makes you powerful. One book makes you envious. We've got to get off that stuff. We've got to shut off our devices. I've gotten to the point I had to stop reading my iPad Bible, which is the one that Moses read. The iScroll. The iTablet. And I get out an old-fashioned King James Version Finished Dakes Study Bible, and I sit, and it's about that big. It's microfiche, if you are old enough to know what a microfiche is. I got to read it like this. But I'm telling you, I got to get away. I got to hear God. Social media is making us dumber and dumber and dumber. Dumb and dumber are far smarter than some of the people that are on social media all the time. I'm just telling you, you don't mean to. But there's a bunch of hippies in Silicon Valley. Well, I'm going, so I might as well finish my trip. There's a bunch of hippies in Silicon Valley that have these weird thoughts that they ought to control the way everybody else thinks, and they have found a way to execute that by getting people addicted. Why do you think, man, I didn't know I was going to go here tonight, but why do you think they keep putting all those notifications? Why do you think they try to get, because they're trying to get you hooked, keep you hooked, and make you believe something that is a core value of a generation of people that hate God and hate life and hate morality and hate Jesus. Jesus and hate humility and hate faith. Now, I'm not telling you you shouldn't have any of it. I'm just telling you, you better have more of the Bible than you do of social media. And if you do, you'll live a better life. Solitude. You got to read it with Jesus at the middle. From Genesis to Revelation, let everything said refer you to Jesus. Come on. Let Abraham, the head of the covenant, remind you of Jesus. Let Isaac, the perfect sacrifice, remind... am I preaching tonight? Let Joshua, the leader of his people into the promised land, remind you of Jesus. Let Joseph, who suffered unjustly but was exalted over his brothers, remind you of Jesus. Come on. Let Samson, who defeated more enemies in his death than in his life, remind you of Jesus Christ. Let Nehemiah, who rebuilt broken walls, remind you that Jesus builds broken lives. Everything in that Bible points to Jesus. And then lastly, read it under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a way of taking a scripture that you have read 15 times and make you see something you never saw before. It will not be contrary to scripture, but it will apply directly to your life. I've heard that people say this, you know, you not everything in the Bible, let's see, they'll say it this way, and they don't mean it wrong. They say, not everything in life's decisions is found in the Bible. I would disagree with that completely. People say, well, the Bible won't tell you which car to buy. I disagree with that completely. The Bible won't tell you which person to marry. I disagree with that completely. The Bible says, people say, well, the Bible doesn't say what town you should live in. I disagree with that completely. Because I have met many times that I've opened my Bible and under the influence of the Holy Spirit, God directly take letters off that page, lift them up, and speak to me directly and say, this is a situation that is not in black and white letters, but this is the word that I've given you for that situation. And when I've been able to take that, I've got a weapon in my hand and I'm able to go into a situation and it may not have stood out to you, but at the right time, a word from heaven can guide you and give you intellect that you'd have never gained in 50 years of being in college. Read with accompaniment of the Holy Spirit. It's so good to read with the author. This coming April, I'm going to have Bishop Rick Thomas come up from Margate, Florida, and he wrote a fantastic book, really touched my life, called Significant Seed. And the students have all received one and a workbook for free. He gave them all away. And I thought I would try to teach it, but I called Bishop Thomas. I said, man, would you come up and teach this? He's going to teach it. Now, I'm going to tell you, nobody can teach his book better than the author. But I know a lot of people that are reading God's book, and they don't know the author from a goose. But when you begin to read the Bible, and you begin to know who the author is of that book, he'll give you good interpretation, and he knows how to apply it. Let me just end by telling you what the Bible is like. For the Bible says in Jeremiah 23, verse 29, number one, the Bible says that the word is like a fire. Somebody shout fire. I'm going to finish. Give me about 15 minutes or less. Or more. Just kidding. His word, when you begin to get in solitude, when you make Jesus the center, when you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, the word becomes like fire. The fire. Jeremiah said his word is like fire shut up in my bones. You say, why would he use fire? Is it like it's not heartburn? It's God's word is like fire because his fire comes in and destroys things that don't belong in your life. When we try to deal, let me just read it the way I wrote it. When we fight situations in the flesh, we deactivate the power of the word. I'm going to try that on you one more time. When we fight situations in our ability, we deactivate the ability of the word. Did not the Bible say, I sent my word and healed their disease? The word in your mouth will build a world. Hebrews says that God framed the worlds with the words of his mouth. And either you're doing it well or wrong, you're building your world with the words of your mouth. After a little while, you can't blame the devil for the world you live in. You built it. After a while, you can't blame the devil for nobody being around you. After a while, you got to say, I built this world. After a while, you can't say, I don't have any friends because of this or that. And you've got to say, you know what? My words have built me into a place where I can't have any friends. My words have done this. We've got too many Sunday morning Christians quoting gospel songs, but they don't quote the word. We've got to get back to the place where if we want a certain life, we realize it's not built with brick and mortar. It's built with our words. But when I get God's word in my mouth and I begin to repeat what God says and I get a rhema revelation and I get inspired by God, I can rise up and the thing that's standing in front of us, I can say that mountain must begin to move now. That mountain's got to go now. The mountain of sickness, go. In Jesus' name. The mountain of depression, go in Jesus' name. The mountain of debt, go in Jesus' name. The mountain of fear, go in Jesus' name. The mountain of hatred, go in Jesus' name. For His word is a powerful fire, and where it goes, it burns what the enemy's trying to build. Hallelujah. It's no wonder people are on emotional roller coasters, because they're letting the world dictate them and not the word dictate them. But the moment we let the word dictate us, we don't let coworkers, we don't let employees or employers, we don't let cohorts, we don't let neighbors dictate our emotions. We say, I'm going to let the Lord fight my battle. I'm just going to stay in the word. If you're defeated, it's because your decree is deflated. That's not mine. I read that. I said, I'm going to read it like it did, though. I said, if you're deflated, and we've all been there, maybe. If you're deflated, it's because your decree is, if you're defeated, it's because your decree is deflated. How many are ready for God to come burn some stuff out of your life? Well, it ain't going to come by wishing it away. It's going to come by getting in the Word. And say, mountain, you've got to go. Grace, grace, you've got to go. Number one is the Bible's like a fire. Number two, what if my situation's fire retardant? Then God says the word's like a hammer. Look at that, I can pick up that great hammer with my left hand. Look how strong I am. Come on, folks, how many of you want victory in every area of your life? You're not going to sing your way through it. You're going to get your word way through it. Because I know a lot of people, they can shout, but when it comes down to the word, they got to get more acquainted with it. But the Bible says His word is like a hammer. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Yea, yea, Humpty Dumpty hath a great fall. Verily, verily, all the king's horses, therefore, and all the king's men. Yea, yea, verily, verily, couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. You need a fire. Listen to this. You need a fire. This is what the Lord spoke to me just before I came in. You need a fire to burn up what needs to go. But you need a hammer to destroy the lies that are in your mind. Look what He says. And the hammer breaks the rock in pieces. If the Humpty Dumpty's your problem, you need to take the hammer to Humpty Dumpty. But a lot of people get deliverance in the altar, and they walk right back out there, and Humpty Dumpty comes back together in their head to haunt them. Because they try to destroy a lie with a song and an emotion, but you can't break a lie with a song and emotion. You got to break the lie with a solid truth called the Word of God. Jesus said, I sent my word, and it will bring truth, and it will bring life to those who will heed it. I'm telling you tonight, let shame talk to you. Let doubters talk to you. Let critics talk about you. Let haters try to wear you out. Let family members try to tear you down. But I'm going to tell you something. You got to take out the Word of God, and you got to say, I believe what the word says about me, and what God says will come to pass. Oh, destroy the lies in your mind. Break it beyond recognition. Well, if it's fire retardant, and if it is unbreakable, then take them to Ephesians 5:26. For the Bible says, and this is the last one, he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. If you can't burn it, come on, musicians. And if you can't break it, God says you can drown it. Come on, I thought that was a much better point than you acted. But anyways, it blessed me, and so we'll move forward. I love watching these videos of these, especially alligators. They'll climb up on the dry land, and they'll grab a water buffalo or maybe some kind of an animal that's on the land. And they'll grab them by the leg, and if they can't kill them on the dry land, they'll drag them in the water. They'll drag them into the water, and the alligator will say, I know you're stronger than me on dry land, but I'm stronger than you in the water. Can I preach this last point like I feel like I want to preach it? There are moments that people get into dry times, and they try to fight situations in their own ability. And if they they'll take another step, and they'll just use one of their top four favorite scriptures. Now, how many of you got? I'm not gonna trick you on this. How many of you got two or three scriptures that are like your go-to scriptures? How many of you got? You have a scripture against raising hand in church. I just want to give you another chance on that one, because that really makes me think that I should preach a lot longer. How many of you got two or three scriptures that you just, you know, they've been meaning a lot to you? Sure, they didn't. It's not bad. Maybe it was in a bad time, and just that word stood out to you. I'm going to tell you, there's a whole rest of the Bible. Like, some people do good with shame. Like, if you try to put shame on them, man, they got ain't no shame on me scriptures. But if you talk to them about financial pressure, they got nothing. And you're in a dry season, and you're done, my friend. The devil will beat you up in that area. Thank you, Lord. Any area you don't have word on, you're vulnerable to attack. I'm not saying, thank you, Jesus. I like it when he begins to preach. This is the danger of being in church so long that you never go outside of your favorite book, or your favorite text, or your favorite subject. Some people, all they want to do is study prophecy. And I think you should. But your wife really wants you to study how to be a good husband. And if you don't soon, you better hope it's pre-trib. Hallelujah. If you're post-trib, you're in trouble, my friend. Come on, somebody. We got... I'm avoiding a lot of controversy in my mind. I'm just letting it float. I'm burning it up. I'm hammering it with a hammer, and I'm dragging into the water of wisdom. Hallelujah. Does somebody give me a Bible? I feel like such a hypocrite preaching without a real Bible. It don't seem right. Thank you, amen. I can count on you every time. Amen. Ah, this feels better. I feel the Jimmy Swaggart spirit coming on me. Good with this black Bible. If all you do is restrict yourself to the last two or three books, or all you do is restrict yourself to John, good place to start. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of other Bible in there. But because we want to be spoon-fed like babies, not we, but people like to be spoon-fed like babies, or they build their doctrine off an Instagram picture, or they got a Facebook devotion, what the problem is, and I'm glad you got that, but I'm going to tell you, there's not just victory in shame, there's victory for healing, there's victory for purpose, there's victory for running business, there's victory for college, there's victory for, come on somebody, there's victory for teenage years, there's victory for your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, come on somebody, your 60s, your 70s, there's a word for the country, there's a word for the city, there's a word when you're down, and there's a word when you're up. Come on into deeper water. Oh devil, you trying to get me there, but I'll beat you there, and I'll beat you over here, because I'm going deeper in the word. I'm not going to take dessert. Give me the salad, give me the steak, give me the meat, give me the whole word. I'm not going to read the word I like. I'm not going to read the word that's my favorite. I'm going to read it when it feels good. I'll read it when it hurts. But when it's all said and done, my enemy's going down, and I'm going to stay up. Does anybody here want to go deeper in the word? Well, I'm just going to read the scriptures my denomination reads. If you're in a denomination that doesn't read the whole Bible, get out of it. Get into a place. Get into a church. Just thought of it the other day. I guess I can say enough, because I'll say what was public. But you remember God Squad on WVOM every Friday? They'd bring in a stereotypical conservative minister and a stereotypical liberal minister. And over the years, they kept putting me across of the two most liberal. And I was good with that. Because there's a part of me that likes to fight. Too much of me, actually. I'd rather fight than love, to be quite honest with you. My wife would rather love. I thank God for my wife, but man, I'd rather argue than I would. And that's not all good. I'll fight for you, but I shouldn't fight you. I like what Brother Shuttlesworth tells me. Don't fight people, fight principles. But it's so much fun to fight people. If it's wrong, why does it feel so good? How could something that feels so good be so wrong? But I'm growing up. I'm getting deeper in the Word. Amen. Hey, look, I don't care where you're at. Don't feel bad about it. Don't just say, this isn't where I'm going to stay. I'm going deeper in the Word. Go out a little bit deeper. Cast your net in the water. There's a word for your children. There's a word for the prodigal. There's a word for the nation. There's a word for the world. There's a word for the church. There's a word for a Bible college student. There's a word for cancer. There's a word for diabetes. There's a word for loneliness. There's a word for God that God has for you. You just got to be willing to dig a little deeper. Stop quoting your favorite preacher and quote the favorite word of God. Oh, yes. So I'm starting to do what I saw all the old-time preachers do. I'm like starting stories and going off and coming back. And I don't know. If the kettle's black, Brother Dreyer, boil the water. I don't think a bit of that made sense, but I'm going to move on. For grace doth cover me. And this certain person I sat across from started arguing and started, you can never know, and you never have this, and that's what we think it says. And the Spirit, I believe it was the Spirit of God, came upon me strong and said, you are nothing but a cultural Christian, and you highlight the Bible parts that you don't like with a black Sharpie. Have you ever said something and watched the words leave your mouth and go, but you're never fast enough? Stop. Come back. Never works. That ship has left the dock. And the whole area found out that Matt Ward wasn't lying and the Holy Ghost wasn't lying. Because there are people in our culture that want to just dismiss parts of the Bible. And they're not God haters. They're ordained. And they're on radio, and they're on television, and it doesn't matter what the Bible says. The flower fades and the grass withers, but the Word of God remains the same. Amen. She's been tested. She's been tried. They've been trying to destroy it since it was written, but it's still the best-selling book. It is the longest-standing document with the most original manuscripts than any document on planet Earth. Why? Because it's a miracle work. And if you put the Word into you, then it will work. The Word will work. How many are ready to just kind of go deeper in the Word? I'm ready. Look, some of you are in trouble right now. Some of you are in trouble right now. You're facing something you've never faced. Done preaching. Now can I minister? Some of you watching online, you're facing stuff you've never faced before. You're struggling with a thing that you've never struggled before. You've never even thought about having victory over it till now, and you're like, man, I'd like to have victory over it, but I don't know how. I'm going to tell you what you do. You take that addiction and pull it into the Word and say, I don't know every scripture about freedom, but I'm going to seek that Bible until I find all the scriptures about freedom. And when you do, you'll drown addiction. Maybe you're sick and you're part of a church that taught that God doesn't heal. And now you're sick and you're like, oh my goodness, I want to know about the healing power of God. It's okay. Take that doctor's diagnosis and bring it to the Word. And if you've never looked for healing scriptures, it's all right. Start looking now. And if you will, you'll drown diabetes with the Word of God. You'll drown bad heart problems with the Word of God. You can drown Lyme disease with the Word of God. You can drown all physical problems in the Word. He said, I sent my Word to heal their disease. Greg texted me this afternoon, had a phenomenal crowd of people at the family classes. They talked about family finances. More will come next week. You know, I'll be honest with you, I've never faced financial challenges like I'm facing at the Bible college. I'll tell you what it's done to me. It's made me go into that word a whole lot more. And I'm taking financial challenges because God's blessed this church. I mean, it is phenomenal what God is doing in this church. Little country church out in the middle of Maine. I mean, it's no wonder hundreds of people are lining up to start churches out here in the country. But I'm taking what are in the natural total impossibilities, and I'm dragging them to the Word of God, and I'm put on my life jacket because I can't swim, and I'm in the Word of God, and I'm finding out that God is a more than enough God. And if you'll do His work, and if you preach His message, He'll take care of His kingdom. And if God can do it anywhere, He can do it everywhere. Hallelujah. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. You just got to drag it in the Word. You say, I've never been 20 years old before. That's all right. Drag your 20-year-old situation into the Word. You say, I've never been a grandparent before. That's all right. Take your grandparent issue into the Word. I've never dealt with, oh my Lord, I remember when we had two teenage girls in the house. Brother Papa had to go to the Word. God, is there a word for this girl? That's all I got to say. Don't be... She's choking the Word. Hallelujah. Don't you choke the Word, woman. We were talking about it the other night with Micah on the way home, and talking about how Mariah and Rocky were at the home that they bought. And not to brag, but she's on the platform. And drove out of the house. And she said, when we drove away from the house that we looked at, she said, God spoke to me and said, that house is yours. Now, I don't think God spoke to the banker, but she had to use her faith to go to the bank and say, we want to buy this house. And they bought a house, and it was a phenomenal blessing. And the greater blessings when they sell it. I mean, it just phenomenal. But I'm just telling you, she learned how to take a situation. She never bought a house before. She didn't even buy shoes before. Who's the sugar daddy? But you know what? I'm so proud of my kid. Because if you can raise your kids to know how to take their situation and find something in the Word, then whether you're on the earth or not, they've always got somewhere to go. I know a bunch of people, they know how to send their kids to Facebook, they know how to send their kids to ball games, but they don't know how to send them to the Word. I'm going to tell you tonight, let's be some of those people that know how to show our kids, when you're down, go to the Word. When you're up, go to the Word. When you got it, go to the Word. And when you need it, go to the Word. Come on, let's stand together tonight and let's lift our hands and thank God. There's a Word for every situation in the name of Jesus Christ. Go ahead. Thank Him. There's a solution, and it's in the making for you right now. Thank you, Lord. There's a solution, and it's in the making right now. Come on. There's a solution for your body. There's a solution for your mind. There's a solution for your home. There's a solution for your soul. There's a solution for your spirit. I'm telling you, there's a solution for you tonight. There's nothing you're in tonight that you can't drag into the water of the Word and say, this is what God has to say about my life. Maybe you feel purposeless, feel like your life is just drifting off and off. I'm going to tell you, take your life to the Word, and God will speak to you a rhema revelation. If you're a teenage girl and you say, I don't know how to feel about my life, I'm going to tell you, take your life to the Word and let God tell you, you're precious, you're mighty, you're valuable, your God loves you. Maybe you're a teenage man and you say, I don't know what to do with my life. Take your life to God. God's raised you up to be strong. Maybe you're a college student and you got all these influences and you feel like Daniel in the lion's den. Take your college life into the Word and God will speak to you. Maybe you're divorced and you say, I've never been here before. Take your life into the Word and God will
guide you. Maybe you've never been unemployed and you're looking for it. Take your life to the Word, and you'll find in the Word that there's nothing too hard for God to do. Maybe you're running a business and you don't know how to handle a situation. Take your business and drag it into the Word and say, the devil will not win, and Jesus will show me what to do. Lift up your voice and thank God. There's a Word, and you're going to find it. Thank God. Come on, thank God. If you're watching online, I've not listed your situation, but take it to the Word. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you, and you don't have to wander another day. You can know for sure. Thank you, Lord. Come on, lift up your voice. Begin to praise God. Begin to thank Him like you're going to find it. Thank Him like you're going to have it. Thank Him that you will have it. And the Holy Spirit will show you what needs to happen for you in the name of Jesus. That's how I feel to go into the altar. Who's in this place tonight that says, I'm facing something I've never faced before, and I want God to speak to me? That may not be hundreds of people, but would you raise your, if you raise your hand quickly, stand across this altar. I'm facing an unfamiliar situation. Stand shoulder to shoulder. I'm facing something I've never faced before. It's brand new. It's not familiar. If it was a familiar problem, I would know. I would go back to the way I handled it before. But this is a brand new situation. Praise God. Well, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Come, church, help me. Everybody needs somebody to pray with them. Just come, would you? And we'll let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Hallelujah. I don't want to go quickly through this. I want to make sure that you've positioned yourself and we position ourselves with you to stand with you in a time of need. Come on. We've got church people here. We got future ministers here. I'll wait till everybody's got somebody praying for them. All right. I think I see everybody reached. Good. Okay, if you folks would pause just a moment in prayer. Those of you that are receiving prayer, look up at me. Look up at me. Those of you receiving prayer, look up at me, if you would please. Look up at me, okay? Those of you that are in prayer, just look up at me. Those of you that are praying, just pause for a minute. Just pause for a minute. You guys, look at me. Look at me. In the altar, just look at me. Yeah, I'm not that hard. I'm on the eyes. Look up. Okay, look at me. Okay. I love you. But I just told you the answer's in front of you. You don't have to be like... I think you're being reverential. I don't want to be disrespectful of that. But my goodness, friends, I just told you there's an answer. I got to be careful at this moment. I don't want to disrupt you. I know everybody's different, but I feel overall you're kind of like, I'm focused. I've never faced this before. You should come with your heads up and say, I've never faced this before, but before tonight I didn't know what to do, but now I know what to do. Pick your head up. Just pick. Give God a little body language. Like, God, I don't know if you can do this, but I'm going to give you one more try. Pick your head up. Give God a little body language and say, I believe that my God is going to supply every need that I have. I believe that God is going to meet me where I'm at. Come on. Put your faith in a positive direction. I'm not beating you down. I'm just trying to help you a little bit. Let's not let emotions take over. Let faith rise up here. Amen. We're not riding the roller coaster. We're on a rocket. All right. Lift your hands and just begin to thank God. And we're going to agree together with you tonight. This is it. That's much better. Come on. Stretch your hands this way, church. Wonderful. Wonderful. I feel a different spirit even in saying it. Different spirit even in saying it. Hallelujah. Amen. Position yourself to get an answer, not a question. Hallelujah. God has not given us a book of questions. He's given us a book of answers. Now lift up your voice. Come on back there. Everybody begin to thank God. We agree together with you tonight that God speaks to your spirit. We agree together with you tonight that God lifts the burden. You've never traveled this way before. You've never dealt with this before. But I'm going to tell you, God already ordered your steps. God has already ordered your steps. You're already on the way to victory. Hallelujah. You are already in the right place. at the right time with the right word with the right God. Hallelujah. And there's nothing that's too hard for him to do. You're no so far down he can't pick you up. You're not so far out that he can't pull you over. You're not so hurt that he can't heal you. You're not so down he can't raise you. Come on, somebody, lift up your voice. Begin to agree together. Lord, send a word. Lord, send a word to my brother. Lord, send a word to my sister. Lord, speak to their mind. Speak to their heart. Speak to their dilemma. Speak to their body. Speak to their finances. Speak to their relationships. They got family members that are hurting like they've never hurt before. But tonight, they're going to start seeing a thing change. They've got situations that are heavier than they've ever lifted before. But tonight, that begins to change. For God gives you a word. It's a timely word. It's an in-season word. It is a right now word. Now faith is. Now faith is in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, begin to thank God. The living word, Jesus Christ, is in you. That means you have access to everything that heaven has in store for you. Amen. You have access to the heavenly riches. You have access to heavenly wisdom. You have access to anything that God has, you have through Christ. Woo, come on, begin to thank him. Jesus said, the works I have done, you shall also do. Not only the works, but the greater works. That means God's saying, if God, Jesus had it, you can access it in Jesus' name. That's it, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 You're not at a disadvantage. You've got the living word inside of you. The same word that brought the worlds into being is the word inside of you, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you don't know how to pray, let the Holy Ghost pray through you, and a word from heaven will come right now. And a word from heaven comes to you in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You can do this. I said, with God, you can do this. Nothing is too hard for your God. It's all right. You may not have faced this alone before. Like this, Kelsey, but I'm going to tell you, you're not facing it alone. Hallelujah. All the God of all the heaven is working on your behalf in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's going to be a miracle testimony. It's going to be better than you had dreamed. It's going to be greater than you had dreamed. For you're not alone. You're not outside of his eyesight. You're not outside of his reach. But you just got to dig into that word and say that word is as much for Kelsey as it is for anybody. Hallelujah. Receive what he says and live with it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah. 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 You've never faced it before. But that doesn't mean that God is surprised. Hallelujah. He comes right alongside of you right now. Just let him speak to you. You've heard him before. Now hear him again. Hallelujah. He's never told you anything that has hurt you. And he will not this time either. Trust the Lord. He's the one that has drawn you. He's the one that has kept his hand on you. Now trust him. You can do it. You can do it. It'll be worth it. It might be faith steps at beginning, but it'll get stronger and stronger and stronger. Lord, I pray that you touch my sister, Lord. Minister to her. Hallelujah. Never faced it like this before. Never faced it before like this. But God, we means we get hungry for you. That means we get hungry for more of you than we've ever been before. Speak through the word in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Never been here before. But you just drag that thing to God's word and let God tell you. He's the great counselor. He's the mighty counselor. Let him speak to you tonight. Oh God, your counsel is right. Your counsel is true, God, and is trustworthy. And we trust it tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're going to trust it. God, there's power in your word. God, when we stay in it, there's safety and there's protection. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Go ahead and sing. Go ahead and sing. Go ahead and sing. Lord, move in this place. Move on these people today.
Show us your glory. Show us.
a healing in your body. Back there, down here, how many need healing? Just stand across here. You can't preach the word without having an opportunity to pray for people to be healed. For he sent his word to heal our disease. If you need healing, Alan, get right beside. Hey, come on, bud. I'm glad you're here, Josh. Stand right over here. Shoulder to shoulder. Help me. Shoulder to shoulder. That means you don't stand in front of everybody and nobody stands in front of you. Get shoulder to shoulder. That's it. Come stand with your son. You can stand with your son. Nobody prays for their son like their mom does. I'm so glad you're here, Josh. We're praying God's absolute healing over this young man's body. Ma'am, are you come for healing? Help Vinny. Help me. Would you just training people. Do all of you folks need healing in your body? Yeah, good. All right, I just want to make sure. Praise God. Do you believe Jesus heals bodies? He is the Word. He is the Word, and he's the healer. Josh, God's healed you many, many times before, and you keep giving him chances to heal you again. It's all right. Not on purpose. I'm teasing you a bit. God's going to touch Bill. Is your knee, right? Your knee is bothering you. Alex, what's going on? You're in pain. All right. Okay. So you got a circulation issue going on. All right. May your blood run freely. Emily, what's going on in your body? Head stuff. Okay. All right. Lucille, your eyes. Lucille was hit by a bungee cord, hit her eye. And so she's tougher than a bungee cord, but she'd like to get healed up from that. Hey, bud. Nate, what's going on in your body, Nate? Asthma. Believe that God can heal those lungs so that they can be healed in the name of Jesus. Yes, honey? You want to see? Thyroid stuff? All right. Amen. Diabetes. Absolutely. We're praying for Greg. God will touch him this year. Not only heal, but restore in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to use my faith. I got nothing to lose. And you got everything to gain. Are you standing for prayer, Alan? I mean, Lauren, your shoulder, your left shoulder. All right. That's an old fighting injury. Just kidding. Just kidding. Harry, what's going on? I guess it wouldn't be an uncurable disease then, would it? Right. Natural. A different disease. All right. There's no natural cure for it. All right. Well, so Harry's saying he had an uncurable disease, but God healed it. So he's had emphysema of the lung. How long ago? Many years ago. Well, you're a young man. It couldn't have been too long ago. Yeah, right. You was there now. So it was a long time ago then. All right. Hey, buddy. Three things going inside the body. All right. The blood of Jesus takes care of all things. Beth's body, Beth's mind, and her entire being. Josh. What? Lord, heal my amnesia in Jesus' name. Jacob. That's terrible. My deep apologies. That's why I said it, because his brother's name is Josh. That's exactly not why I said it, but I felt good. Thanks for giving me an out, though. You're so nice. The leukemia in the body. But we're believing Jesus Christ to touch Jacob's body, healed of all leukemia in Jesus' name. Yes, Kylie? Arthritis. That's ridiculous. Oh, that's no, but it's not right. In Jesus' name, we believe that you'll be healed. Ma'am, you have cancer as well, right? I forgot your first name. Please don't be offended by that. I don't mean anything by it. Lisa, thank you. You live right down the road here, so you'd think I drive by your house 8 times a day. So, all right. But God will touch Lisa's body. A lot of faith here. A lot of faith back there. Oh, and Annie. I'm sorry, Annie. I didn't see you, honey. We're going to pray for Annie that God touches her. Amen. No more seizures. No more pain. Completely healed. A precious part of our family. Amen. God honors a parent's faith, and I love it when I see a parent standing with a child. If you're back there and you haven't come, you can come and pray with us. If those of you in this altar, you've been praying, your faith is up. Everybody that wants to, let's just lay hands on these. The Bible says you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So pray with faith. Pray with faith. Pray according to the word of God. Every scripture God speaks to you, say it in the name of Jesus. No quiet prayers when we're praying for healing. We pray right out loud. We believe our words. There's power of life and death in it. And we're bringing life tonight in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, Ryan.